Our text is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, as we have been considering for the last number of weeks. The text is, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." That is our text, but our reading is actually found in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to read some verses from this chapter, this portion that is often known by many as the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to start our reading though at verse 18. Excuse me, verse 16. Verse 16. We have the instruction of the Lord Jesus. "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Amen. May the Lord add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. This morning, if you will, I'm going to offer you a subtext, a secondary text, and that is the 33rd verse, particularly the beginning of that. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I want us to see this morning that our text, as well as the reading that we have at hand, would establish for us that the eternal electing purposes of God are for the people of God to be the foundation of their priorities. Foundation of our priorities. But before we go further, let's just ask the Lord to bless us and meet with us for Jesus' sake. Father in heaven, now we would pray that you will bless the word of God. We would pray that thou wouldst use this word to both glorify the Lord Jesus and edify those who belong to him. Lord, we ask that you will come and speak, come and teach, come and separate us from the things that are not only wrong thinking, but Lord, things that are displeasing to you. We would pray, O God, that thou wouldst allow us to know the help of the Holy Ghost through this time, that we might hear the voice of the shepherd in these words and not just the thinking of a preacher. Lord, we ask for mercy. We ask for the protecting work of the Spirit of God. We ask for the sanctifying work of the same Spirit, that we might be a people who indeed find themselves in the presence of God and their hearts are truly ministered to by the one who is the Word. Bless now this time. Help me, I pray, for Jesus' sake. We ask it in his name. Amen. There is a common question that is often asked in many ways, sometimes with words, sometimes only in thoughts, and sometimes only as a long breath. That question is this: what should I do now? What should I do now? The question has a number of applications, for it can relate to what is the next step in a process, or it can be a revelation of uncertainty. However, the question is more frequently than not a matter of the setting of priorities. What do I do now? What's the first thing? Perhaps if the question is more accurately offered, it would be this: what ought I to do now? Now, that makes all the difference, for asking in that way puts the matter on a moral plane. It asks, what is the right step and what is not? Well, with fallen man, the answer usually becomes a weighing of what one ought to do up against what one wants to do. And the second of the options is often the selected course by men of the world. And that is not to be wondered at. The whole of the depraved heart calls loudly for what is wanted to be satisfied, no matter what the cost. Rebellion and immorality are wholly based on this aspect of the depraved nature. What do I want? I will get what I want. Our old man demands his way. from God and from everything else. It is no wonder that we have difficulties in our hearts and lives doing what we ought to do when it comes in conflict with what we want to do. How often do we find ourselves saying, I know I ought to do this, but I just don't want to. We even have created fancy words to go along with this idea. Procrastination simply means putting off what ought to be done in favor of what is wanted to be done. That's nothing more than what we're talking about here. That's nothing more than I set my priorities and I set up against the things I know to be right, the things that I want. And we choose the want and put off what we know to be done. Procrastination. For the true believer, the matter must not be seen as a trivial one or one of no consequence. The performance of the will and purpose of God as the first priority is not only the will of God, but a mark of faith and grace. Doing what the Lord Jesus says is a mark of true saving grace within the heart. If you love me, keep my commandments. The man that puts off God is that man who is not bowed before God. Now, having said this, there is certainly the possibility that we have the issue of life out of focus, so that we order our priorities not after the purposes and revelation of God's will, but after the pragmatic conclusions that men of the world make. We read that in Matthew chapter 6. For all these things do the Gentiles seek. The men of the world have one conclusion about how you ought to order your priorities, but it is not the way that God would have his people to work and act. We listen to worldly wise men and come away ordering our lives and efforts according to the counsel of a world that is soon to perish. In the portion of the Sermon of the Mount that we just read this morning, the Lord Jesus directly is commenting on the question, what ought we to do? There were a number of different applications. Maybe you noticed them. The context offers the answer to the question when it comes to how do you go to God? He says, do not be as the hypocrites. Do not do it as an outward show. God is not pleased with that. That is not godliness at all. But you come to God in secret. You pour out to your God in secret. You worship your God out of your heart and not just as your outward man would want men to see. The Lord Jesus dealt with how you're to conduct yourself before men. He says no man can have two masters. Then the Lord Jesus deals with how we are to look at the supplying of the needs of life. He says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth. And take no thought for your life. The Lord Jesus then offers a statement that overspreads the whole of the matter and puts in the simplest terms what the mind and priorities of the child of God are to be. He says in verse 33 these words. You know these words. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Now, that is not a statement of suggestion. The Lord Jesus is not recommending that we do this. But it is a commandment that reflects the eternal will of God. Now, we will say more on that in just a moment. But the point is that God has a will for the thinking and the conduct of his people. That will is based on the purpose that he had from the course of eternity, that the Lord Jesus would have a people and that they would be a people of faith and obedience. That is God's purpose. He has a will that we would be a people conformed to the image of his Son. We, by God's own purposes, by God's own direction, are going to be a peculiar people. The Lord would have us to be a singular people. The Lord would have us to be a sanctified people, a people whose desires and priorities are as much in control and captivated by the Holy Spirit as our souls are. So I present this to you this morning as a subject, and I will be most direct. The foundation of our priorities, what we do, what we say, where we go, what we don't do, all the various things that we set up as the first things, is governed by the electing purposes of God. And so my proposition again to you is this: the setting of the heart and mind on the Lord and his purposes is the primary duty of the child of God. Setting the mind and heart on the Lord and his purposes is the primary duty of the people of God. The setting of our priorities. Now, let's just stop for a second and answer this question. What is a priority? Well, my good friend, Dr. Webster, was very succinct. And to that, I am very appreciative, because he came to the point and nailed it on the head. He says simply this: a priority is that which comes first. That which comes first. Not that which is important but you put off or delay or set apart for some other time. A priority comes first. Then other things follow. And I would say, as we begin our time this morning, we have to stop and ask ourselves, does Jesus Christ come first? Is he first? I have 2 points I'm going to make this morning. The first one is, I want us to consider this subject, and I want us to consider the Lord's instruction that the Lord Jesus is to be first. So my first point is this: I want us to consider the all-important instruction. The all-important instruction. We have it in verse 33. Here it is. It overwrote everything that the Lord was speaking in the 6th chapter of Matthew up to that point. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is your first priority. That comes first. Among all things, that comes first. Well, we might ask the question, but what does it mean? When he says that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, what does it mean? Well, it is certain that there is in those words an evangelistic trumpet sounded. You are to leave off all the matters of this life and to seek the salvation that is offered in Christ. Certainly, that is in those words. You seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Don't be distracted like the young man that came to the Lord and asked, how may I have eternal life? And the Lord Jesus put his finger on all these different things that were distracting him and keeping him from faith and the giving of himself to Christ. Don't you be like that. Don't you be like that one who allows the affairs and the things of life to keep you from considering who Jesus Christ is and being willing to say, I will give up all for the pearl of great price. I will set aside everything that I might have him, as Paul says. Oh, that I might know him, that I might win him. There is an evangelistic word there. Leave off all in the world and seek Christ. In him is the redemption that God has planned from eternity. Or the verse you know well, Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You are to seek the Lord Jesus. There is no other that can come first. There is nothing as important as this. So that is seen. But I will say secondly, there is also that word in this verse that speaks of the ordering of all the matters of life, so that they have the seeking of Jesus Christ and his work first. You order all things. Other than coming to Christ and salvation, everything else, Christ must be first. The seeking of the kingdom of God must be first. The righteousness of the Lord outworked in you must be first. In fact, does this not even have the sound of redemption in it, the way the word is presented in verse 33? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You are to seek the kingdom. You are to seek righteousness. Again, we have to stop and ask the question, well, what can that mean? Those are broad terms. It leaves a man much room to consider the aspects of which that could possibly be applied. I would simply suggest to you that when we have these terms presented by the Lord Jesus, he is pointing to the gospel. I would say that the mind of God is that you set yourself to that which is called for in the gospel. He speaks of righteousness. Well, how does a man know righteousness? How is a man made righteous? How is it that God sees righteousness in any man? It is only by the imputation of the Lord Jesus. There is indeed there then the message of the gospel in view. We are made the righteousness of Christ of God in him. Our sins were made his. His righteousness was made us. There is the gospel. Oh, child of God, understand, keep your mind on this. You cannot be righteous by yourself, but you are to seek it. How? How are you to seek righteousness in your life, as it were? How are you to seek to be righteous? I would suggest to you it is by seeking God's elected one. Seek the Lord Jesus. You are to strive to enter into the kingdom of God by the straight gate. How can you do that? By coming to the Lord Jesus, who is the door and who is the way. Oh, understand. The election of God, the electing purposes of God, is that Christ was elected to receive his people. It was also that Christ was elected to redeem his people. It is also that Christ is elected to rejoice over his people. I'm going to tell you very plainly, men get all twisted around about the matter of election, the doctrine of election. Let me tell you what, man's election is just a very small part of the doctrine of election. For God's electing purposes are centered upon the Lord Jesus. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1. There is the electing of the Lord Jesus and the Lord Jesus' work and the things that are being brought to you because of the Lord Jesus. You are to seek after the kingdom of God. You're to seek after the righteousness that's in Christ Jesus, simply meaning you are to seek the person of Christ. For all the electing purposes of God are embodied in him and in his work. I want you to see that this instruction of the Lord that we are to seek first, that we are to prioritize our lives to seeking Christ first and everything else second, is first the mandate of the Creator. So I say that about the instruction. It is the mandate of the Creator. Psalm 27, verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. What's being said in those verses? What's David saying in Psalm 27 by those words? Simply this, in the time of distress, and when there is a need for the mercies of God, the first instruction is, seek ye my face. When there is a need, when you know that there's a lack, when there is something that needs to be done, when there is a problem, when there's a trial, when there's a temptation, when there's an affliction, when there's anything that would be against you, that would cause your heart to be weighed down, the first thing that we are told by God to do is to seek the face of God. When thou saidst, seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. A moment ago, we mentioned that the electing eternal purpose of God is that you seek after the Lord Jesus and his likeness. Let me tell you very bluntly, that is not a secondary issue. That is not something that is to be an add-on to the Christian in his thinking and in his walk. This is the primary duty of the people of God. You know the answer to the question, the first question in the Shorter Catechism, what is man's chief end? You know that answer well. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Let me lay up against that verse, or that statement, this verse. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. I say those are kindred thoughts there, both the definition in the Shorter Catechism and that verse of Scripture. I say this to you. The point is for the glory of the Lord Jesus, the Lamb who is all the glory of Emmanuel's land. We are to make the seeking and the service of Christ the first thing. That is the mandate of our Creator. We are created to seek after the Lord and His righteousness. I will also suggest to you this. It's not only the mandate of the Creator, it is the mind of Christ. The Lord Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, there's a number of verses that go along with this. But he said, Jesus saith unto them, meaning his disciples, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. I present those scriptures to you to simply say that the heart and mind of Christ was to first do the will of God. And that was not only put upon him as a duty, but as he said to his disciples, that was given to him as the means of strengthening his own heart. We do what God would want us to do first. We seek the will of God first. And there is an effect from that. And that effect is that we are those who are strengthened of the Lord. The graces of the Lord become manifest to us. And again I say, the mark of a child of God that is truly being conformed into the image of Christ is that his first desire is to do what the Lord would have him to do. This then puts us in that place where we need to give ourselves then to finding out and embracing what the Lord is telling us to do. I can't say that with enough emphasis. Your place is to find out and to embrace what the Lord is telling you to do. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Our text is verse 19, but in verse 15 it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. My point on that is you cannot do what you don't know. You cannot do what you are negligent in understanding. And I say here is a great deficiency in the lives of many Christians, and the results are sometimes very sad. We do not know what God commands. We do not care to find out. And so we walk after the counsel of our own minds, and we fall into a ditch. No, your place is to find what Christ has said, what Christ has done. Understand the will and mind of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That was the way of Christ. That is the way of Christ's people. My other point is this. It is not only the mandate of the Creator. It is not only the mind of Christ. It is also the message of comfort. Here the point is very plain. Do we desire the comfort of the Holy Ghost and the peace of God? What do we do? When we try to bring comfort to ourselves by seeking after our own ways and putting our wants ahead of God, we will faint. Jeremiah offers those very thoughts when he says in chapter 8, verse 18, when I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. When I try to do the things that I think are going to make things better for me, I find I faint. When I look at the answers that I come up with in my own mind as to how I may best go forward to the meeting of my needs, I fail. That's the way it happens. Because the place that God gives to our priorities from our want is last. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It is the work of the Lord, though, that brings the comfort. 2 Thessalonians 2, 16 and 17. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. You know, those are great words of hope. The Lord is going to do these things. He is going to establish us. He is going to comfort us. He is going to make us to be those who know the grace of God. My point, though, to you would be, notice, though, the words that immediately precede them in the Scripture. Again, we were at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. Well, if you look at verse 15, it says this, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. What's he saying? Well, God is going to comfort. It is the Lord that does the comforting. It is the Lord that does the adding of grace. It is the Lord that keeps you in perfect peace. It is the Lord that causes you to know that strength in the inner man that allows you to be able to be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. That is the work of your God. You will find that. But he says, your place, though, if you're going to see that occur, is that you are to stand fast. Stand fast, brethren. Now, what does stand fast mean? It means you do not move. You know, in other words, Paul is saying this, you know the will of God. You know the mind of God. You know the requirements and the commands of God. You know the truth. You know the true doctrines of Christ. You know the mind of God. That then is your first duty. That is your first action. You do not move from that. What your God says is what you do. And as you find yourself standing fast, you're going to see your God undertaking. Oh, I say, here is the way we are to be. This is what the mind of God is. I say, this is the all-important instruction of God. You are to seek Christ first. Because the Lord has determined from the course of eternity past that Christ is the object of our faith. He is the doer of our redemption. You then are to seek Him. Now, I want you to understand that there will be, with that instruction, opposition. So, I want us to see, secondly, the ever-present distraction. The ever-present distraction. The Lord Jesus, in speaking to some of His disciples in the garden, says in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." The Lord Jesus told these men to do essentially what we're being told to do through the scriptures of Matthew chapter 6. He says, "I want you to watch and pray." Your first priority, Peter, your first priority, John, is to watch and pray. You are to give yourself to the seeking of the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You are here to do a labor that is unto God. This is the first priority for you. Watch and pray. But then he says, I want you to understand, though, that you're going to be opposed in this. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. There will be things that will question the sense, the rightness of giving everything to the Lord first, seeking everything from the Lord first. Oh, brother, you've got to know that we all have needs. Needs. You have to do what allows you to live and be happy. You know, sometimes, sometimes God doesn't supply. You must supply for yourself. That only makes sense. Let me tell you what. This mindset that you have to figure things out for yourself, you have to supply for yourself, is three things. Number one, it is the lie of the fiend. It is the lie of the fiend. The wicked one would counsel you. And let me tell you what, the devil doesn't always come along to try to scare you. The devil doesn't always come along to try to tempt you with something that is enticing. You know, perhaps one of the things that the devil does more than any other thing is he comes and counsels you. And his tones are so sincere, and they sound so full of concern for you. But let me tell you what. The counsels of the wicked one always boil down to the same old accusation against God. Hath God said? Hath God said? Now think about it with me. You remember reading? I'm sure you do. Of when the devil sought to tempt the Lord Jesus. What was it that the devil really used as his attack? Simply what we're saying here, hath God said? In other words, he was trying to get the Lord Jesus to doubt God. Make these stones into bread. You need to eat, don't you? Oh, that would be good for you. This is not good that you're out here suffering like this. Take matters into your own hand. God has forgotten you. You know, there is a saying, and I'm sure you have heard this many times throughout the course of your own life. There's a saying, and it sounds so wise. God helps those that help themselves. Where does the scripture ever say that? Let me put that up against this. Take no thought. Which one is the mind of God and which one is the mind of the wicked counselor? I say the fiend's message is to prioritize self first. Look out for number one. Do for yourself because nobody else will. You know, many listen to that and many fall. The scripture tells us, wait on the Lord and keep his way. And he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. You wait upon the Lord. There's the first priority. I say that the opposition is the lie of the fiend. It's also the call of the flesh. The call of the flesh, the Lord Jesus addresses that particularly to his disciples there in the garden. The flesh is weak. The flesh calls for itself to be satisfied. It demands that it be satisfied. Now, by the flesh, I'm talking about not only the physical, but also the emotional. Somebody's angry. Well, I'll show them. I'm going to get back. I'm telling you, we got to have back. Well, there's how many ways in which the flesh says, I must have satisfaction. I must have this thing settled. It's not the mind of God. Take no thought. 1 Peter 4, verse 1, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Oh, child of God, understand this. Our flesh calls us like the mythical sirens for us to indulge ourselves. Give way to your emotions. Give way to your feelings. Do not be careful to do the things of God, for that will cause dullness and boredom, and it will cost you. But on the other side, do what you want first, and then do what God says, if you feel like it. Do what you want first, and then do what God says. Don't worry about it. You have liberty to do this. Do not be a Pharisee. Do not be overly concerned with the will of God. The Lord lets you make all kinds of choices. And, you know, sometimes if the choice that you're going to make is not completely in line with the will, you can make better by doing the will of God after that. Oh, I tell you, child of God, the Lord Jesus tells us plainly, the flesh wars against the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8. The Spirit and the flesh are at war. What the flesh would have you do by the setting of your priorities to the things that you want is directly against what the Spirit of God will witness to your heart. When you set Christ first, when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, you find then that you have the continued ministry of the Spirit of God, bringing home to us the power of love and of a sound mind. Set yourself first. I say that's the lie of the fiend. It is the call of the flesh. But I also say it is the echo of the fall. I point to the fall again in the words of the serpent. Hath God said? Hath God said? Let me simply say to you this. The fall of man was that there was a disregarding for the instruction of God, for the wants of the flesh. That was the essence of the first fall. Doubting God and the disregarding of God's word for the wants of the flesh. And my question to you is this, to try to set for you the seriousness of what we're talking about. What destruction came as a result of not doing what God said first? Utter, total destruction. This is a primary, all-important instruction that we have from God, that we are to seek first what He establishes by the electing purposes of God. The foundation of our priorities must be, what has God said I am to believe, and what is it that God has told me I am to seek? Period. My priorities are governed by that. My question to us this morning then is simply this. Are we fulfilling the mind and commands of God to put Him first? Now, honestly, every one of us would probably have to say, no, no, I'm guilty. Well, does that have to be a perpetual situation? Or does the Lord allow us to have His help and the grace and the mercies of God that we might fulfill the mind and will of God? Well, you know it's the second. Oh, that we would be a people that would see within our hearts the utter importance, not only as a matter of duty, but as a matter of love to Christ, that we seek to put Him and all that revolves around Him as first. And then we see the Lord ordering our steps. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. What? You mean I don't order him and the Lord says, okay, that's okay, go ahead, do it? No. The Lord orders the steps of a righteous man. The Lord providentially brings along my way the things that He would have me to do. When I seek Him and I seek His face first, it has the attendant blessing, not only the peace of God that passes understanding, but it also has the attendant blessing of the Lord undertaking to order the events of my heart and my life. The foundation of our priorities is in the electing purposes of God that we are to seek for Jesus' sake. Well, may the Lord bless His word. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we would pray now that You will take this word and that You will use it in our hearts and minds, that You will cause us to see that our place is to look to Thee, to keep our eyes upon the shepherd, to follow after Him when He moves, to go where He goes, to stop when He stops. O God, may our minds and hearts be those that seek after Christ. Lord, may we not be just those who in word only say we believe upon the Lord Jesus, but we do not those things that He says for us to do. We pray that You will help us to be mindful of Your desire, of Your instruction, that we will be a people whose priority is first the things of God. Help us then, for Father, our flesh wars against us. Help us, O God, for we have one who is very subtle in His ways of trying to trick us and to cause us to move away from the Lord our God. Lord, we pray that You'll help us because we are depraved. And Lord, we have no hope in and of ourselves, except the Spirit of God does that work that enables us to see, hear, and believe upon the Son of God. So we put this before thee. We ask for thy continued blessing as we were before thee in this thy day. Let us know the helping of our God to keep our hearts and minds fastened upon the things that are pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.